This broadcast is general in nature and is provided for informational use only and should not be considered investment advice or an offer for a particular security. Views and opinions expressed are those of Richard Bassett and are subject to change based on market and other conditions. Consult an investment professional regarding your unique situation. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Keep in mind, investing involves risk, including the risk of loss. Investment decisions should be based on an individual's own goals, time horizon, and tolerance for risk. Securities and advisory services offered through Cetera Advisors, LLC, member FINRA SIPC. Cetera is under separate ownership from any other named entity.
If your retirement is just a few years away, it may be time to adjust your investing strategy.
The shocking statistic is that by the time somebody reaches 65, 95%, they're dead broke, they're dependent on family, or they're dependent on government.
It's important that people deal with someone to make sure to prove and provide lifetime income.
Welcome to the Financial Planning Hour, presented by J. Marshall Associates of Fall River, hosted by financial advisor Richard Bassett. Over the next hour, be prepared to hear ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. It's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it. Now, here's the host of the Financial Planning Hour, Richard Bassett.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. It's been a while, but we are back in 2024 and we're excited to be here. So welcome into the Financial Planning Hour. It is your hour of local radio where you can get financial questions explained, answered, and hopefully just have a better chance of retiring successfully in the future.
We can achieve some real resolutions.
Real resolutions,
Dave.
That's
what we do.
I love it. I love it. So it is January 8th. It is the day after the snowstorm, first snowstorm of the season. And of course, everyone had to learn how to drive in the snow again.
Again.
And let's just do a quick public service announcement and remind you to please take the snow off the roofs of your car so it doesn't fly off and hit my windshield. Happened once before on the Mass Pike years ago, and it was a very, very scary experience.
There's no specific law against snow, but anything that can come flying out of your car is illegal.
Yes.
Garbage,
yes.
Beer cans, anything.
Yes. And for good reason, Dave. For good reason. So this is the Financial Planning Hour, and welcome to 2024. So here we go for another exciting year of financial discussion strategies and stories to help you make sense of it all. I wanted to start off reviewing some of the Wall Street forecasts for 2023 that didn't pan out. Last week, I had a conversation with a client, and he read somewhere that, you know, someone was predicting the largest correction in U.S. stock market history. And I said, well, it certainly got your attention, didn't it? There's a lot of understanding with the stock market, and I think it's important for people to first realize is that people sell ad space, and in order to do that, they get clicks and they get eyeballs on their sites. And an easy way to do that is to come up with a salacious headline like largest correction in U.S. history coming in 2024. And of course, one of my clients got sort of suckered into it. And I'm not saying there's not a correction coming or not, or there will be the largest or not, but you know what I like to focus on the Financial Planning Hour is real advice that you can use in your personal lives to help create a better, sounder financial plan, give you a better chance of retiring successfully, creating more income in retirement. So I thought we'd start off with the year looking at some of the predictions based on Wall Street forecasts for 2023 that did not pan out. First one, there was no U.S. recession, Dave.
That's good to hear.
There was no U.S. recession. There still could be one in 2024, but right now they're pricing that pretty low. They don't think there's much chance of a recession.
So recession is another word for a correction, right?
A recession is just two quarters, so 6 months of declining GDP.
Gross domestic product.
Right, exactly. So no recession in 2023 and with an inverted yield curve, 425 basis points of Fed tightening, and most experts predicted a recession that never materialized. So the Fed raised rates, and in spite of it all, the recession did not materialize. Unemployment didn't need to rise for inflation to come down. There was a lot of thoughts that unemployment numbers were going to have to go up in order for the inflation numbers to come down. Remember, the Fed talked about pain and suffering. The Fed had predicted on American households never came to fruition. If you look at the unemployment numbers, unemployment is still very, very low historically, and people can get jobs if they want them. That's the big key, if they want them. I think that's the bigger issue right now. There's a lot of people out there that don't want to work, and don't get me started on that, because that's a whole show by itself. The third prediction that did not come to fruition was the world's biggest banks didn't cut rates. There was a lot of talk that the Fed was going to overstep their bounds, they were going to raise rates too rapidly, and the U.S. Central Bank, you know, Bank of England, etc., were going to have to cut rates, and they did not do so. They never cut rates. There was no recession. Banks did not need to cut rates in order to keep the economy moving along.
Worldwide.
Worldwide. And in the U.S., there were no rate cuts in the U.S., Dave. There were only rate hikes.
So each country has its own Fed.
Yeah,
sort of.
Basically, Bank of England.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. There was no banking crisis. This was a big one at the beginning of the year. I probably received 30, 40 calls on this.
What do they think was going to happen?
Well, remember those banks that were closing, Silicon Valley Bank and some other banks that were closing? Yeah, it seems like distant memories now.
Yeah.
But for me, that was about a month of calls where clients were calling me and asking, should I pull all my money out of the bank or credit union? And should I put it in the mattress or, you know, under the parakeets? Cage. No. No, you should not. You should leave it exactly where it is. Banks are great. Credit unions are great. And, you know, some banks, unfortunately, were run poorly. And those banks paid the price. Ultimately, they closed. But traditional banks and credit unions like we have in the Fall River, Greater Fall River area, remain profitable in spite of higher interest rates. And I, as I said, I received many, many calls on this. So, you know, one of the things we don't want to do when we talk about financial planning is we don't want to panic. We don't want to overreact, because generally overreaction loses opportunity.
Well, it causes rash action. You don't want that.
Right, and it loses the opportunity you have to make sense of it all. So if you look at the banks, what did the local banks do and U.S. banks do to sort of quell the fear that banks were going to all close? They raised rates. You know, there were some really good CD rates, money market rates out there, last year, and they continue to be out there this year. So certainly a good time, if you've got some cash on hand you don't have a plan with, to look for those rates at the banks. There was no U.S. government default. This is becoming more and more of a regular thing where we're reaching our debt ceiling, and it's a big deal. But yet, somehow the Democrats and the Republicans get along at the last minute, they vote, and it all is forgotten, and the debt ceiling limits increased, and life continues as normal. This, to me, is more of a political issue than a fiscal issue. Fitch did downgrade the U.S. debt from AA+ from AAA, citing growing debt burden and repeated debt limit standoff. So again, I think it's more of a political issue than it is actually a dollars and cents issue. And I think that the Democrats and the Republicans both use it as political fodder. And again, it gets people riled up, gets people calling, gets people worried. And I think that's exactly what it's designed to do. So there was no U.S. government default in 2023. Also predicted last year, China didn't have a reopening boom that many expected. Remember, at the end of 2022, China had exited COVID restrictions, very strict COVID restrictions, whole cities cut off from the outside world, and many people predicted the economy would recover rapidly. That never materialized. In fact, China's economy has stalled, and their growth model has really been changed. They're not predicting nearly the type of growth they used to, where they used to talk about double digit growth year over year. It's just not sustainable. So I think it's interesting to see some of the things that were talked about last year and some of the things that maybe made you react inside your investment portfolios or with your financial advisor. And I think that's important to know as we start off the year, is there's going to be more predictions this year, and you can probably count on one or three fingers how many actually will come true.
But you got to plan for all scenarios.
Well, I think the bigger key, Dave, is you have to plan for a scenario that makes sense for you.
Yeah.
If you're someone who's a moderate investor and you're 5 years away from retirement, you probably should have a plan more focused on your future income generation than the actual growth that you're trying to achieve in the stock market. And that's sort of the key. I think a lot of people, when they read reports or see the news, they react and say, oh, well, that must affect me. Well, it may or may not. You know, if you're heavily invested in the stock market, it may, or again, it may not. I think a sound, well-executed financial plan makes all the difference in the world. And realistically, that's why generally my clients don't really overreact to these kind of news stories, these sensationalized news stories, because they've sort of been coached on what to expect and how their financial plan is sort of able to weather the storm in up, down, or sideways markets. It's important to do that. And if you're not somebody who has that well-written, well-documented, you know, financial plan, it's a good time to start. Great resolution in 2024, something to think about. So when we come back, we're going to start talking about 2024 now that we've covered some of the things in 2023 and what we can do to help make sure that we have a successful 2024 going forward. And again, if you're someone who doesn't have a financial plan, wants to retire successfully someday, you can call my office at 508-673-3300. We'll offer your free consultation.
For baby boomers, here's something to think about. Will you have enough income during your retirement? Are you absolutely sure? Do you understand the difference between growth and income? How about bonds and bond funds? Are you 100% ready for RMDs? Do you have an estate plan? If you've said no to any of these, we can help. Right now, for the first five callers, we'll send you a free, custom-designed, animated video retirement kit to help you plan for the retirement you've worked so long and so hard for. These custom video kits are loaded with cutting-edge retirement technology, custom-designed to your specific areas of need. There's nothing else like them. So call right now to receive your very own custom-designed animated video retirement kit. Call 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. Call now or visit us online at financialplanninghour.com. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Question for Richard. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call. 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. Again, 508-673-1480 is the call-in line. Started the first segment by going over some of the predictions that Wall Street forecasts had made regarding 2023. Some of them, the ones we went over, of course, did not actually come to fruition. I think it's important as we start 2024 to actually talk about what didn't materialize in 2023, because ultimately we're going to see more predictions in 2024. I've already had clients, as I mentioned earlier, calling regarding reacting and regarding articles predicting the biggest correction in the market in years. And again, unfortunately, no one really knows what's going to happen in the future. It's just fact, you know. Just look at the weather. We didn't know we were going to have a snowstorm over the weekend, and we didn't know we'd get 6 inches or 8 inches or a foot. It's all sort of a guess.
It's like that black swan incident you speak
about. Right, right. And ultimately, it's easy to predict what happens after it's happened. And that's what I find most of the book writers and movie writers and the like to come out and talk about, you know, what they saw coming, but didn't bother to have time to tell anyone. So truth be told, no one can predict the future, but they sure sell a lot of ad space and get a lot of clicks when they try to do just that. As usual, I'll be focusing my clients on sound investment strategies that continue to work in spite of volatility in the market. If you are young, you need to invest in the stock market. It's that simple.
Well, majority of your investors.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, Dave. Thank you. There's so much evidence to show us it's not timing the market that matters. It's time in the market that matters. And if you're not, you know, convinced, let's look at two hypothetical investments in the S&P 500 index over the 20-year period ending December 31st of 2022. Some pretty recent stuff. Each year, an investor contributed $10,000 to the S&P 500. One investor somehow managed to pick the very best day to invest. That would be the market low. So the low of the market, every year this investor was able to put their $10,000 into the investment and off it went. The average annual return, if you pick the worst days for 20 years in a row, $10,000 a year in the S&P 500 index, the average return, if you would have done that, would have been 11.43% over that 20-year period.
And usually it's 8, you say?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. 8 to 10, so not too bad, right? The other investor was not so lucky and actually picked the worst day, the market high each year. So they bought at the high. And remember, something I've talked about on the show before, intra-year lows really are opportunities. And we saw that in 2023 that just ended. You know, July and August were really terrible months in the market. But if you had remained patient, calm, and just stayed the course, look how you were rewarded by November and December. Actually ended up being a pretty positive year in the S&P 500 index. So again, the other investor was not so lucky, actually picked the worst day, the market high each year, same $10,000 for 20 years. Even with the worst investment timing, the average annual return would have been 9.48%. So we're talking the difference of 11.3, 9.48. I'll take either. Obviously, yes, we want the higher number. I know that. But 9+% a year is nothing to shake a stick at. It's really good.
So it changes over the course of the year and averages to be what the numbers you're saying now.
Exactly, exactly, Dave. And I think that's important to realize is that, you know, if you're someone who had overreacted in July or August of last year, you would have pulled out, gone to cash. You would have not seen the market recovery in November and December that other investors would have who stayed the course in the stock market. That's why, as I'm saying, when you're young, the market is your friend. What's not your friend is the emotional part, that fear factor that you're afraid you're going to lose everything. You know, I was showing my wife some investment statements that came in over the weekend. We had some time together, unusually, so I was able to show her some of the investment statements that we got. And one of the investments we had, now we don't endorse particular stocks, but one of the stocks that I had bought a year or so ago, we had lost about half the money that we put in it right away. But guess what? It was a long-term investment, and we invested money we didn't particularly need at that moment in time. Well, from January of 2023 to December of 2023, we doubled our value on that investment, doubled our value by just staying the course, just being patient.
Don't panic.
Right, right. Exactly, Dave. So getting back to my example, at the end of 20 years, the cumulative investment of $200,000 would have a value of $549,645. That's if you were doing your best investments, picking on the best day possible. So even selecting the worst day to invest, someone who continued investing in the market over that past 20 years would have come out ahead. They're always going to come out ahead. That's my key. It's time. It's not timing the market that matters. It's time in the market that matters. The more time you have in the market, the better off your results will be.
Don't pull out.
Right. And that's why when you're young, I think it's important to realize that. And you have to have a financial advisor who understands the difference between growth, accumulation, preservation, and then ultimately my favorite topic, distribution.
And the ability to explain what you understand to the client so they're not acting blindly. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, ultimately perseverance pays off. You know, and that's something we've always told our clients in our office is that perseverance pays off. You've got to be patient. You've got to be understanding. And, you know, as Dave's saying, you have to be educated. I think part of my job, really the number one focus of my job, is education. And that way clients understand and they can see what's going to happen. Not predicting what's going to happen ahead of time, Dave, but knowing that, you know, we've looked at all scenarios and we've stress test this financial plan to make sure that it works in a good stock market environment or a bad stock market environment, because you don't know when you're going to retire. You just know you want to retire. And, you know, the worst thing you could ever hear is imagine, you know, Dave over here wants to retire at 65 years old. He calls me up at 65 and I say, "Oh, Dave, you know what? Not a great year to retire. Market's down 25%. Better to wait 2 more years when the market recovers." That's not going to work for Dave. Dave's going to want to retire when he wants. And the financial plan he has should be able to accommodate that in good and bad economic environments. So over the past 94 years, the S&P 500 has gone up and down each year. 27 of those years had negative results. 94 years, only 27 had negative results. But again, that's patience, and that's where the worry comes in. My biggest, you know, obstacle, I guess, with clients is getting them to understand that, you know, respectfully to the clients, it's their money, it's their emotional attachment. We've done this in the firm at J. Marshall Associates for 40 years when Joe started it. I've been there for over 20 of those years. So I've seen good, bad, really bad markets. And I understand what financial planning looks like in all scenarios. And ultimately, let's face it, my number one client goal, or the goals clients come to me the most, is I want to retire successfully.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't talk about the stock market. They didn't say, well, I want the market to be up 8% every year and I want everything just to be great. No, they said, I want to retire successfully. And the second thing I hear most often is, with enough income to live comfortably. When you get to retirement age, you've sort of accepted your lot in life. You know, if you're someone who likes to go out to eat once a month, all of a sudden in retirement, you're not going to say, I'm going to go out to eat three times a week. That's not who you are.
Well, you can't change your investment strategy the way you could when you were younger. You can still make changes, obviously.
Yeah, of course you can make changes, Dave. But I think the key is that when, as you get older, you sort of accepted your lifestyle. You're happy with your lifestyle. You want to maintain your lifestyle. And that's, you know, the goals that I hear from clients most often at, you know, client intake meetings is that retire successfully with enough income to live comfortably. No one says they want their money to triple in their 60s. It'd be nice.
That'd be good.
It'd be nice. But that's not necessarily what they're saying. So I think you have to be aware of that and think about how your financial plan works. You know, does it grow? Does it give you a chance for liquidity? Does it give you the chance to produce income in a good or bad stock market environment? Those are the questions we have to ask ourselves in 2024 to make 2024 more successful than we had in 2023. So we're going to take our next break, come back strong. And again, if you have questions, you can give my office a call anytime, 508-673-3300.
In a world filled with volatile markets and risky high-fee investment choices, you feel alone and confused.
Does the thought of planning for retirement remind you of a scary Hollywood movie trailer? Call now for a free, no-obligation retirement income kit packed full of easy-to-understand information designed to help you create and maintain steady, predictable retirement income that can never be lost in the market. Call today. 855-406-6218 or download it now, financialplanninghour.com. You've worked too long and too hard to allow your retirement to play out like a scary movie trailer. So call right now, 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. Ideas, concepts, and strategies that may challenge the way you were taught to think about saving and investing for retirement. The studio line is 508-673-1480. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. We are live today. If you've got questions, feel free to give us a call, 508-673-1480. Again, 508-673-1480. I want to go back to something I said before the break. Over the past 94 years, the S&P 500 has gone up and down each year. And out of those 94 years, 27 of those years had negative results. But let's go a little bit deeper on that. One-year investments produce negative results more often than investments held for longer periods. If those short-term one-year investors had held on for just two more years, they would have experienced nearly half as many negative periods. So the data clearly shows that longer-term investing works. I think what people get anxious about is the short-term investments. And honestly, short-term investments, I always caution clients with, because you get very emotional. I'm reminded of an attorney story one day. A client of mine had a big case that came due, and he had a bunch of money that was paid to him all at once, and he wanted to invest it for the rest of the year to build it up to help pay off his taxes on his income that he was going to have to pay come tax time next year. And he was really only looking to invest the money for about 6 months. And I remember telling him, there's a lot of risk there, obviously, because in 6 months, there's not a lot of time if you're in a bad investment to recover losses. And sometimes you won't know you're in a bad investment until the end of 6 months. So, you know, I think when we're looking at investing, we always think that the stock market is just going to go straight up like an arrow. That's not the case. If it was, we'd all put all of our money there. And that's why, as Dave said earlier, that's why, you know, at J. Marshall Associates, we believe in a sound financial plan that includes an emergency fund, includes cash in a bank or credit union, you know, includes all of those components of a sound financial plan. It's not just all stock market investments that are going to make sense. Yes, the market provides you with your best growth potential, but obviously with growth potential comes the potential for loss. And that's something you have to be educated on, as well as, you know, the potential for gains. Because in my business, everyone likes to sell the sizzle. They love to tell you how things are going to be great, but they don't really ever tell you how things could not be so great. So you've got to have somebody like myself, respectfully, who is understanding in the cycles of the market and understands that you, as the investor, the client, is going to retire when you want to retire. As I said earlier, Dave doesn't want to hear me telling him, don't worry, wait 3 more years, then you can retire, because, you know, it's just not a good time. That's not going to work for most people. So regarding younger people, as I said, you want to be invested in the market. That's where you're going to make your money. What if you're older, though, and cannot stomach the volatility as you near or already are in retirement? What you're really saying to me is, I've grown my assets. Now I want to protect them, and even better, spend them. That's the best part. Now, understand that the model in our business nowadays is fee-based investment. Everybody wants you to have a fee-based investment. And the reason being, of course, is that's how they make their money. You know, the commercials you hear on the radio, right? You know, we only make more money when you make more money. Well, that's a fee-based investment. If I charge Dave 1% and he's got $200,000 invested with me and I grow that account to $400,000, well, my 1% just got bigger. And Dave's fine with that because his account just doubled. So he's happy, happy, happy. But the reality is that, you know, that kind of investment strategy works really good in the up market, but how does it work in the down market? And how much does your advisor really not want you to take money out? Because if Dave starts telling me, hey, now, Richard, you've grown my investment from $200,000 to $400,000, thank you very much, now I want to start taking out $10,000 a month because I want to live on this money, I want to have a good time and travel and see the world. Every time Dave takes money out of that account, my fee goes down, doesn't it?
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, every month. So, you know, the first year you take $10,000 out a month, it's $120,000. And the next year, same thing. My fee is going down now because there's less assets in the account. So you want to make sure you're working with an advisor. Yes, we do fee-based accounts in the office, but we also use commission-based accounts. As fiduciaries, we use investments that work for what your goals and concerns are. So if you're someone who comes in and talks about income, chances are you're going to end up in a product that's designed to produce income. And if you're someone who comes in and says, I want to grow my money and I want to take on a lot of stock market risk, well, then chances are you're going to end up in an investment that's going to be focused heavily on stock market risk and investments that are obviously tied and correlated to the stock market. So, you know, you've got to ask yourself those different stages. Am I in the growth stage still? Am I in the preservation stage? Or am I ultimately in the distribution stage? And you want to make sure your financial advisor, your financial professional has all those stages, good understanding of it, a good understanding of how it works, and how to transition you from one to the other as needed as you go through those stages. Because let's face it, we all start young and we all want to accumulate. But then we get old enough and we say, ooh, scary, I don't want to lose. Now I want to preserve. And then ultimately, my favorite part, I want to spend.
Hopefully, my money. When you've invested in the stock market in your youth, you have watched the market go up and go down and go up and go down and up and down. And then when it's finally up, when you're older, say 65 or what have you, then you change your strategy.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be so dramatic. Like, it doesn't have to be done all at once, but it should be done.
But the point I want to make is that you've seen it come and go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think now it's time to go.
I think you're right, Dave, but I think let's use an example. Let's say you started investing for the first time in 2010.
Okay.
And right up until 2020, the stock market never lost, really. There were a couple blips here and there, but it was never significant enough to make you worry. And then all of a sudden, 2020 comes and the market drops 40%. So you go, oh, wow, this thing's real. I can really lose money here. I can really lose money. And now the worst part is you've grown the value, you know, from 50,000 to 100,000 to 300,000 to so on and so forth. Now losing 40% of you know, $200,000, that's significant. You know,
especially at 65.
Right, right. And that's why I think a sound financial plan has a component based on growth and liquidity, and also has a component based on income and safety. And that's what I try to do, at least with my clients. So as I said, you know, that's why the transition to income producing investments is critical. And ultimately, it doesn't write a lot of books. It doesn't get a lot of clicks because it's not sensational. It's not, you know, double digit rates of return, but it's income predictability in retirement, which I think, you know, I'm not there yet, but when I get to retirement, my number one focus for myself, my wife, is going to be income certainty, income predictability. And if I can do it with less exposure to the market risk, well, certainly that's a win-win-win.
Yeah, so, there's a big difference between income and growth.
Huge, huge. So each week I show clients by implementing split strategies, partially focused
on... What's a split strategy?
Taking your money and putting it in different places. You know, I think a lot of people come in and they say, "Well, I'm 55 years old, so I've got to be in growth."
Okay.
Okay. Maybe, but what if we could peel out 100 or 200, depending on how much assets you have, and say, "All right, this is going to be purely focused on future retirement income," and we can do that. You know, by using a split strategy. Kim in my office likes to call it bucket planning, using different buckets of money to create different, you know, outcomes. I call it a split strategy, but it's all the same. And in my split strategies, I focus clients on partially focused on growth and liquidity, and also focused on income and safety with their money. And by doing that, it's much better. You know, one of the favorite things I tell clients is, if you follow my financial plan that I've created for you, you have more income certainty, which certainty is such a beautiful word in retirement, isn't it? Certainty. It's certain to happen.
Yeah.
So more income certainty in retirement with less stock market exposure. You know, and I can show you example after example after example where I've shown clients, you know, based on the rule of four, here's what your stock market cheerleader advisor wants you to do. They want you to take your $500,000 401k. They want you to keep it in a managed account. They want to charge you 4%. Charge you 1% a year on it. They want you to take 4% out a year, because that's the 4% rule we've talked about all these years. That's $20,000. But then the problem is the client says to me, because they get a second opinion, thank God, they say to me, you know what, $20,000 in income is not enough. And the answer is, well, you can increase your stock market withdrawal rate, understanding that as you increase that rate, your chance of running out of money increases. Or you can look at alternative investments that are actually designed to produce income in retirement. And that's what I strongly, strongly recommend. I was just meeting with a client last week, and she is very conservative. That's my nice way of saying it. She's about my age, so about 47, 48 years old. She's a lovely, lovely soul, great person. But she is ultra conservative when it comes to her money.
Not risky.
For years, using financial planning strategies that I know works for other clients, I've had her in a brokerage account, a managed account. The problem being is that she doesn't want the risk that comes with the stock market. So ultimately, if you think about your stock market investments, if you're working with a stock market cheerleader and you say you want less risk, what are they going to do? They're going to sell off your stocks and they're going to buy bonds. Well, look at 2023's results. Anybody who had a portfolio heavily invested in bonds didn't do as well as the ones that were heavily invested in stocks. Bonds were anchors in 2023. They were not great performing assets. And if you look at some of the long-term bond numbers out there in funds, and you can look at them all, MFS, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, Franklin Templeton, all of them are guilty of it. Their bond funds have underperformed the stock market significantly over the last several years. And it makes sense. Rising rate environment, bonds are not necessarily going to do very well. And what you're seeing is, so, you know, the stock market cheerleader type of advisors, they only have really two arrows in their quiver, stocks or bonds. And, you know, I think working with a well-balanced, you know, diversified in a financial advisor who's going to talk to you about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, REITs, annuities, you know, cash in the bank, CDs, MIGAs, all these different types of investments out there that can certainly give you more predictability, more income certainty, and still, depending on what kind of risk you want to take, still give you the growth you're looking for maybe, but also give you some safety, some income, and some liquidity that you may not think of otherwise. And at the time, may not be important to you, but it will be. And I think that we've got to understand that the stock market goes through cycles, and sometimes those cycles happen within 12 months, within a 12-month period. You know, if you had done a poll back in July or August of last year and said, hey, what do you think the market's going to finish out the year at? People would have said terrible. They would have said, no, good. It was bad year, bad year, bad year. But guess what? It was a pretty good year. It was a pretty good year, but you had to be patient and stay the course to get there. So, you know, I always think that, you know, when you get to retirement, you should start to pivot from that all growth, all the time, you know, mentality to now start to think about how much income can I bring in from my investment strategies? And if I don't have enough income, where am I going to supplement that income from? And ultimately, it comes from your money. You know, if you have a pension, God bless you, you're lucky. If you have Social Security, okay. But if that's not enough income, you know, the traditional today client of mine doesn't have a pension, they have Social Security. And if Social Security doesn't provide them with enough income, which generally it's not, because remember, we've said it on the show before, at most, Social Security will give you 40% of your pre-retirement income. So, okay, now you've got Social Security check, but it's not enough income to live on. Where are you going to make up the difference? It's with your investments. It's with your investments, which is why I'm always excited when I have that 17 or 18 or 19-year-old kid come through my doors, because that's someone who's really been educated on the future. You know, over the weekend, my son wanted to buy something online. It was $50. And I said, oh, well, do you have $50 in your wallet? Because I'm not someone who gives in easily. So he said, yeah, I have $50. Here you go. And I said, well, actually, it's $53.
With what?
Tax.
Okay.
And he goes, well, I don't have $53. I guess you don't have enough money to buy it.
There you go.
And that's the thing. And, you know, in retirement, we don't want to be told no, but sometimes we're going to be told no because of the choices we've made that have led us to retirement. I'm reminded of a client I had recently conversations with. She's gone through some tough times, no doubt, but most of her monies are in underproducing, low-risk investments that have only been earning 1% or 2% over the last several years. She's missed a lot of opportunities. We'll talk about more that after the break. But again, if you're someone who needs a financial plan, wants to retire successfully, you can give my office a call. We'll make it happen for you, 508-673-3300.
Investing in the stock market these days is like riding a roller coaster. Leaving a place of safety, get on the coaster, hear the clickety-clack as you experience anticipation climbing to the top of the hill, followed by sheer panic as you plummet back to the earth, hoping you stay on track. You might be brave enough to repeat the process several times, going up and down, but never achieving higher highs and accomplishing nothing but anticipation followed by fear. The stock market has been doing this same ride of volatility with no real growth. Proper education, though, can help you find a better way to grow your money during these times.
So, how's this latest stock market roller coaster treating you? It's time to get off and call Richard Bassett right now at 855-406-6218. That's 855-406-6218. More of the Financial Planning Hour is next. You're listening to the Financial Planning Hour.
And welcome back into the Financial Planning Hour with your host, Richard Bassett, proudly sponsored by J. Marshall Associates and joined in studio by David Brown. Today we've been talking about predictions from 2023 that did not come through. Obviously, sort of prepping ourselves to remember that 2024 will be full of the same predictions from talking heads and the like. And we've got to be strong enough not to overreact to those predictions, ultimately focused on our financial plan that works for us. us. As I said before the break, each week I show clients by implementing split strategies focused on growth and liquidity and income and safety that they can have more predictable income in retirement with less stock market exposure. Let's face it, you know, the 4% rule is a withdrawal strategy, but ultimately it's a hope and pray strategy. And what you're really hoping is that I can take 4% of the year and I don't live through COVID and I don't live through, you know, a recession and I don't live through the tech bubble bursting and the financial crisis, all these things that can obviously really undermine any withdrawal strategy, especially if you're taking out that 4%, 5% a year with sort of no concern other than, you know, well, that's what the experts say I can take, understanding that it's a rule of thumb. It's not the end all be all. I think it's important to remember that. In retirement, I prefer predictable, steady income flows, not relying on the ups and downs of the market. I like to call it protected income, you know, your Social Security, your pension, your investment income that you can get on a guaranteed basis. That's protected income that you should be able to sleep with knowing that it's protected. It can't be taken from you regardless of what's happening in the economy around you. And that's why I think the partial transition from growth to income becomes so important. Now, you notice I said the word partial transition, Dave.
Uh-huh.
And the reason I mentioned that, partial transition, because you'll still need some growth to offset inflation as we have seen over the last couple of years. If you're someone that 8 years ago, 9 years ago, you retired, you put all your money in a very, very safe spot, earning very little interest, well, guess what? The cost of everything has gone up. I went to the grocery store this weekend. I'm amazed. I go to the grocery store now to buy enough food for one meal that I like to make, and it's $100. So if you're feeding a family of four, five, six, I cannot imagine what your grocery bills look like. God bless you for even trying. It's amazing. You need to work with someone like myself, my firm, who understands the three phases of investing from accumulation to preservation and ultimately distribution. I think that's just so important.
But you can't distribute money from stocks unless you sell them, right?
Well, you can get dividend paying stocks, certainly, and you know that works. But obviously, ultimately, if your dividends aren't enough, you're going to have to sell shares of stock.
Yeah.
And the old analogy I like to use is that's like killing off your chickens. Ultimately, you know, what we learned from the Depression era was you want to live off your eggs and leave your chickens alone because the chickens will keep laying more eggs. If you start cannibalizing your shares of stock, in this case, you know, in our clumsy analogy, chickens, you have less eggs down the road. So, you know, if you're living off dividends, you have to be able to have enough stock to live off said dividends, or else you're going to end up selling shares down the road. With the time I have left, it's only a few minutes before I turn it over to Dave, I want to talk about something that we don't talk about on the show enough, and it's life insurance. And it's a little bit of a clumsy transition, but I have a personal friend of mine who's a life insurance guru, expert, knows more about life insurance than most people could ever forget. And I was speaking to him last week about a case design for a client that I'm working with, and he informed me that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer.
Oh, no.
The reason I bring that up is it can happen to any of us, and I think it's so important to make sure that we're not prepared for something like that ever. I don't think you can be prepared for something like that, but financially, you can be set up to be prepared for that. You can have life insurance. You can have sound investment strategies. You can have proper legal work in place to make sure that if it's ever your time to have that kind of luck, bad luck, whatever you want to call it, fate, you're prepared. Because I think a lot of times, I know in my own family, we were always raised to kind of believe that, oh, don't worry, you know, it'll work itself out. You'll figure it out. Sometimes you won't. Sometimes you won't. And this is an example of a guy who's got two young kids. He's got stage 4 pancreatic cancer. We all know what that means. It's not good.
It's fast.
It's quick sometimes. He's optimistic, more optimistic than most people probably would be, to be honest with you. But he's optimistic, and I'm, you know, certainly praying for him. The reason I mention that is part of financial planning is life insurance, it's disability insurance, it's protecting your assets with homeowners insurance and car insurance and all those things that we take for granted. But really, we shouldn't, because we're here for lucky about 100 years.
Yeah.
And that 100 years is going to go by really, really quick.
It gets faster and faster the older you get.
It really, really does. So, you know, just a public service announcement, if you could, you know, love each other, do the best you can, and make sure you've got all your I's dotted, your T's crossed. And that includes legal work that includes financial planning, both growth and income investing as well, and as well as making sure that you've had these discussions with your loved ones to let them know what's in place, where it is, how to get to it, and if you don't know, who they can contact to do that. Something I've done on all my accounts over the last several years is I've added what's called a trusted contact person. Mm-hmm. That's somebody, if Dave opens an account with me, I'm going to put somebody on that account that's Dave's trusted contact, that if Dave gets bonked on the head and can't call me, well, his trusted contact can, and I can have discussions with them about what's happening with Dave's money, knowing that they have Dave's best interest at heart because Dave said they do. And I think it's just so important to do that. So, you know, with that said, I'm going to turn it over to Dave, and we'll see what's going on in the real estate world in 2024.
Greetings. Hi, I'm David Brown, realtor with High Point Properties. I got a couple minutes left on the show here. My phone number at the office, my cell phone is 508-277-3297. And, you know, I was just thinking with yesterday's storm, Richard,
yes.
You know, I mean, every season in real estate has its own challenges. I mean, in the summertime, you know, the kids are out of school, people are on vacation and have an open house. They can't make it because they're up in Maine or down in Florida. And then, you know, if I say I'm going to have in the multiple listing service, in the listing report, I report that I'm going to be having an open house this weekend from, say, 3 o'clock till 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon. And then I want all the offers in by Monday, the next day, by 4 p.m. And yesterday we had a blizzard. So all of a sudden, you know, there's 20 people that wanted to go to the open house, but only 10 of them can go because only 10 of them has SUVs.
Right.
The rest of them can't get to the open house. Now, and I want all the highest and best offers on Monday, and that's in the listing report. Well, I mean, that's not really being a fiduciary because there's 10 parties that didn't even get to see the property. So what do you do? Well, what I would do, I would call everyone who bid. I'm going to say, you know what? We had inclement weather. I'm going to have another open house next weekend to give the other interested parties an opportunity to see the property. And I got to tell you something. I mean, people want to look at the property. They plan on buying. Mm-hmm. And if there's a hurricane outside or a blizzard, they don't want to go walking around and looking at the foundation or looking for holes where mice could get in or stand outside and look up at the chimney and see if it needs to be repointed or right. Thank you very much. There's just so many reasons why there are variables when it comes to showing a house and selling a house and, you know, getting the bids in, making sure people are pre-qualified. And I know realtors, they'll have an open house and they'll sit there on the phone at the kitchen table and they'll be like, yeah, go take a look around. And they're totally on their own. I'm not like that. I will try to find you a ready, willing, and able buyer. Call me, David Brown, realtor, 508-277-3297.
Thank you very much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.